Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good.
Okay, thank you, Naomi. For all that's possible, if you can kneel with me and we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what an awesome God that you are. We just thank you so much for your creation, that you've created us. We just pray for your guidance. We just thank you for the assembly here today. Thank you for each one that has come to worship you here, Father. We thank you for this church, again, being a light on a hill. All are welcome to come and worship you. Father, there's a lot of suffering and heartache going on in this world. We think of Joan right now. She's doing better in the hospital. We just pray that you draw near to her. And there's families that have lost loved ones, others that are, again, hurting, ailing. We ask that you just draw near to them, help them not to be discouraged, knowing that they're in good hands. Be with those throughout the world, Father, that are seeking you, and that all that call upon your name, may they find relief and help from you, those who trust in you, whether it be in war-torn countries or just other places in the world. There's just so much heartache. We just ask that you draw near to them. Thank you for loving us, Father. And now that we will hear from our brother Robin, that he will bring words of wisdom from you. May those words be directly from you, from your word. We ask that you bless it, guide his words. Thank you, Father, for, again, loving us, being with us here today. We ask the Holy Spirit to just dwell on each one of us as we listen. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. God has sent his prophets. But what is a prophet? Well, a prophet is someone chosen by God to speak for God. Now, we usually think of prophets as telling us about the future, predicting things. But that was only a small part of the prophet's work. There were other parts that were even larger. In effect, they just simply told people what God wanted them to know. And frequently, that had to do with their behavior. Now, who can be a prophet? Can I wake up this morning and say, I want to be God's prophet? Well, anyone can be a prophet if a prophet can be anyone that God chooses to speak for him. You'll notice that God does the choosing. We don't. It just works that way. Now, here are some of the prophets that God chose during Bible times and what they did for a living. We've got Jeremiah, who was a priest, Moses, a felon. He was a murderer, and a shepherd. Deborah, who was a judge. Huldah, we believe she was a teacher. Yay for teachers. Amos was a herdsman and a fig farmer. David was a shepherd, a warrior, a king, and a few other things. Elisha was a farmer. Ezra, a scribe and a priest. Saul, a king. Paul, a tent maker. Peter, a fisherman. Matthew, a tax collector. Boo. Joseph was a slave. And Daniel was a captive. As you can see, God didn't choose his prophets because of their job, their gender, or even their age. Many of the people that God chose to be prophets, we probably would just pass by. You know, we would look at them and say, no, that's not good prophet material. Now, what kind of messages did God send through these prophets, these people? And I came up with four basic ones. There are other ones, but I think these are very important. The first one is that God's message is, first of all and foremost, he loves you. That is first and foremost. God loves you, and he wanted people to know that, and he told that to his people through his prophets. Second, he told them, you're a sinner, and you need a savior, and I provided one for you. Third, he points out how we should live, how we should treat our family, our friends, our neighbors. And then finally, he tells us what the future holds so that we know what is going to happen. And the prophets didn't have any control over these messages. He or she just delivered it. 2 Peter tells us about prophecy. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is by any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, the Bible makes it very plain that it's God's message. It's not the prophet's message. It's God's message. Now, I've divided the prophets into some categories here that we're going to look at for a minute. Here's a partial list of the prophets that wrote some of the books that we find in the Bible. And, of course, their names should be familiar with you. All except Moses on this list are actually the names of books of the Bible. And did you know that there are some prophets who wrote books? The Bible tells us they wrote books, but we don't have them. First Chronicles 29:29 tells us about two of them, Nathan and Gad. Now, the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer. Okay, we have the book of Samuel. And in the book of Nathan the prophet. Don't have that book. And in the book of Gad the seer. We don't have that book. And Jehu. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And then there was Shimei. Now, the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shimei, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And we do have Iddo. And the rest of the acts of Abijah, and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. And the last one, the book of Jasher. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the question is, why don't we have those books? These are prophets of God. Why don't we have these books? Why aren't they a part of our Bible? Well, we really don't know. There are several possibilities. One is that the message that they contained was for their time, their people, their circumstances, and they weren't necessary to be put into the Bible for us to read. Now, what we do know is that the Bible contains everything that we need to know for our salvation. It's all right here. This is all we need. But sometimes God sends prophets and writes other things down and tells us other things because we don't read this like we're supposed to. We don't study it like we're supposed to. Now, these are prophets that we don't know what they may have written in the Bible. I didn't think about it, but Abel was a prophet. Abraham, you know, some of these other ones. Enoch was a prophet. And some of these names we're not familiar with, but these were all prophets in the Bible. And we have no record of anything that they may have written. They may have written things they may not have. Again, you know, it wasn't preserved if they did write it. And of course, there were women prophets. And here's a list of some of the women prophets and where you would find them in the Bible. God, as I said before, he doesn't care what gender you are. He picks you because you're the right person for the job at that point in time. Now, it's interesting that there are some periods where it seems like God quit talking. One of the big ones is the time period between Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and the New Testament. It's a period of about 400 years, and we have no record of any prophets. There are no books in the Bible written during that period. It's sometimes called the 400 silent years. Now, that doesn't mean that God didn't have prophets. He may well have. It's just we don't have any record of them. We don't know where they were, what they were saying, what they were doing. But God doesn't leave his people without some instruction. The Jewish people believe that God stopped using prophets with Malachi. They don't believe that there's any prophet beyond Malachi. So they deny all of the New Testament prophets, of course. Now, there was also a time between John the Apostle. He was the last writer in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And today, you know, there's a period of about 1,700 years there where, again, we don't have any record of anybody that was officially a prophet of God. Now, that's not to say that there weren't, but we don't have people that have that title. Now, Jesus warned us that near the end of the world, there would be some who would claim to be Jesus and some who would claim to be God's prophets. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great wonders and signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. So, why did Jesus warn his disciples and us about these false Christs and false prophets? He could have said, well, I'm not coming back, so there'll never be another Christ, so if somebody claims to be Christ, you'll know it's a liar. But he didn't do that because he was planning to come back. He also could have said, there'll be no more prophets. So if anybody ever claims to be a prophet, you'll know they're a liar. He didn't say that, because there were going to be prophets. He knew that God had a message for his end time church. Now, there are several Bible texts that point to prophets in the last days. Two in particular that are often used, and they're found in Revelation. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You're familiar with that. These two characteristics. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:10 tells us what that testimony is. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So, let's take a moment. What is our definition of a prophet? Someone chosen by God to speak for him. And so what is prophecy? The message that God sends through his prophet. So this tells us that Jesus is speaking to his people near the end of time through prophets. Now, there have been hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who have claimed, since Jesus was here, to be Christ or to be God. And there are also hundreds, if not thousands, that have claimed to be prophets of God. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of names. These are people that claim to be God. Krishna, those of you a little older may remember the Krishna people. Sun Myung Moon, the Moonies. Remember those guys. Most everybody knows Jim Jones because of what happened and then this last one, Alan John Miller. Any of you heard of him? He's a more modern one. And there were a lot more names, but most of these other names don't mean anything to us. They're people that we're not familiar with. But this guy I was interested in because he has his girlfriend, who is Mary Susan Luke, who claims to be Mary Magdalene. So we have Jesus and Mary Magdalene together. Now, here are a few names of people that are probably familiar with, many of them, who claim to be prophets, or other people gave them that title and said that they were prophets. David Koresh, Kenneth Copeland, David Wilkerson, Pat Robertson, Oral Roberts, Mary Baker Eddy, Joseph Smith, William Miller, Ellen G. White. Now, Seventh-day Adventists as a church believes that Ellen G. White was a prophet of God, and that she was given that work to be a help to God's last day church. Now, doesn't it make sense that God would send messages to his end time church just like he did when he sent prophets to the new Christian church that was just forming in the first century? God doesn't leave his people without some help. Now, she never claimed to be a prophet. This is what she said. "Why have I not claimed to be a prophet? Because in these days, many who boldly claim that they are prophets are a reproach to the cause of Christ. And because my work includes much more than the word prophet signifies." So she says, there's so many people out there calling themselves prophets of God, and it's obvious that they're not. If I call myself a prophet, I'm going to be thrown into that same basket with all the rest of these guys. And she says, no. Another statement of hers. "To claim to be a prophet is something that I have never done. If others call me by that name, I have no controversy with them." So, you know, that wasn't a problem for her. "But my work has covered so many lines that I cannot call myself other than a messenger, sent to bear a message from the Lord to his people and to take up work in any line that he points out. So, why did God send another messenger to his people? And this is what she says. I recommend to you, dear reader, the word of God as the rule of your faith and practice. By that word, we are judged. God has in that word promised to give visions in the last days, not for a rule of faith. See, he didn't give her those messages so that change what's in here. But for two reasons, for the comfort of his people and to correct those who err from Bible truth. That was what she was supposed to do. Those are the messages she was supposed to give. She didn't try to change anything in the Bible. She says the Bible is our rule of faith. Her messages were to bring comfort to God's people in the last days. Here are some of the things that she did. She was one of the three founders of this denomination. She helped in discovering the Bible pillars that this church is founded upon. She told her husband that God had directed her to have him start writing and printing. She encouraged the starting of hospitals. She sometimes directed in the purchase of properties for schools and hospitals. She encouraged the creation of church schools. She wrote, and she wrote a lot. She wrote about the Bible, Christ's life, health and medicine, education, home life, church history, prophecy, Christian living, and this is a short list. She wrote, hand wrote, okay? She didn't type. She didn't have a computer. She didn't dictate it. She wrote by hand over 100,000 pages, over 25 million words. Her books that are published total over 20,000 pages. Now, in 1846, just after the Great Disappointment, there were about 3,500 people that were kind of organized loosely into what we call the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. As of the end of 2021, just over 2 years ago, our church was in 212 countries. ADRA, our relief and help section, is in 130 countries. Our worldwide membership is almost 22 million members. That's not including Sabbath School members. We're working in 535 different languages. We're publishing in 342 different languages. We've got over 95,000 churches, almost 73,000 companies. We've got over 9,400 schools, 229 hospitals and sanitariums, over 1,400 clinics and dispensaries, 128 dental clinics, 129 nursing homes and retirement centers, 15 orphanages and children's homes, and 57 publishing houses and branches. Now, I submit to you that we wouldn't have all of this if it weren't for Ellen White's messages from God. God directed her, she wrote it down, she told us what we should be doing. We didn't always listen to her, but this church would not be what it is today without those messages from God. And one of her biggest projects was to write the Conflict of the Ages series. Any of you ever read that complete set? It's five books. It's about 3,600 pages. I've read it. They're wonderful books. The Patriarchs and Prophets, of course, talks about from creation up to David, his death, then Prophets and Kings from Solomon to the captivity, the Desire of Ages. Probably, if you're going to read just one of her books, that's the book I would probably choose for you to read, The Desire of Ages. That's the life of Christ, and it's beautiful. Acts of the Apostles, Jesus training the disciples to the writing of Revelation, and the great controversy is kind of an overview of the whole controversy from beginning to end. Now, she also wrote a set of books called The Testimonies, and there's about 5,000 pages there. I haven't read them cover to cover yet. I'm working on that. I've read large sections of them. But this is a work that she spent about 40 years writing. These were things that God had given to her, testimonies to give to churches and individuals that we can learn things from. Steps to Christ. How many of you read Steps to Christ? Okay. That, again, is a wonderful book. It's easy to read and understand. It's a short, small book that we give out frequently to people. Christ's object lessons, these are Jesus' parables, expanding a little bit on them, making them a little bit plainer. Early writings, her semi-biographical, some of the early things that were going on with her and others. The Story of Redemption, one of my favorite books of hers. This is a mini Conflict of the Ages series. It's just one book, 433 pages. I've read it three or four times now. I even used it as a Bible textbook for a couple of years in one of the schools I taught at. It's a wonderful book. Now, I have five short quotes that I want to share with you from Ellen White. These have meant things to me, and you probably are familiar with them, and I want to share them with you. Little heed is given to the Bible, and the Lord has given a lesser light to lead men and women to the greater light. She was referring to her writings and the Bible. God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. This one I learned when I was about 13. I was asked to memorize this. I memorized it. It's in a larger context. But I think of this one frequently. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. And this one goes right along with that. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. So, if you got a problem, think of all the possible ways that you could solve that problem. This is what he says. As she says that God told her, our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. And last, there is no limit to the usefulness of one who, by putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. Before I close, I want to urge you, first of all, spend more time in this. I'm trying to do that. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to spend time in his word. And if we don't know what's in this, when the time of trouble comes, we're going to have difficulties. It's only as we are firmly attached to this and understand it that we're going to be able to stand. I would also encourage you to use other resources that God has given us, particularly the special resources he has given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the writings of Ellen G. White. God gave them to us for a reason. Now, I've placed in the foyer a large number of her books. Some of you probably have seen that. I've noticed some people taking some already. That's wonderful. I want you to take them home with you. If you need them for yourself, if you don't have that particular book, take it. Give it to your children. Give it to your family. Give it to your neighbors. Give it to your friends. Give it to somebody you meet on the street. Spread it around, and please feel free to take as many as you like. I've got boxes and bags out there. You can haul them away. These are extras that we have, both myself and the library, that I don't see a reason why they should be sitting on a shelf somewhere not being used. Mrs. White made a comment in her writings that there are many who will come to know the Lord through the publishing of our material. That includes our magazines and so forth and her books. Is there anybody here that came to the Lord because of Ellen White's books? Okay, saw at least one hand. I know, okay, a couple of people. My mother did. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for a colporter. Well, maybe the Lord would have worked some other thing. But I know that that colporter came to our house, and he changed our family forever. So, I don't want to see anybody leave the church without some books. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. We're looking forward to the Lord coming, and we want to tell as many people as we possibly can about that. And one of the ways he's given us is through her writings, so please use them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this, your church. We want to be a part of it. We want your Spirit to fill us to overflowing. May we study your word like we've never done before. We know the time is short, and we know that you've given us other resources. May we use everything that you've given to us to be a blessing to other people. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Be with us now as we separate for today, the rest of the Sabbath, and for the week until we meet again here. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.